Eddie, the freshman year. Chapter 5. Winter Semester, Part 2. The day of the state invitational meet finally arrives, and the team meets at the school. They will take the bus together to the Coliseum, which is about 8 miles away. Mr. Fraser is proud to have a good number of competitors going to the meet this year. Most schools are lucky to have one or two runners who qualify for the state invitational meet. Eddie will be running the 40-yard dash and the 4x440 relay today. Mark and Braden will be running the 440-yard dash and will be later joining Eddie and Johnson in the 4x440 relay. Johnson, taking first place in a 220-yard dash during a four-way meet late in the season, qualified for that event. Daryl Bell, who also qualified in the 220-yard dash, will be joining Johnson in that event. Mitchell, who qualified in the mile, will also be competing today. A handful of other runners, who are mostly juniors and seniors, fill the rest of the bus. Conspicuously missing from the bus today is Paul Mahoney, whose best performance this season was third place in the 880-yard run. Sitting on the bus next to Eddie, not surprisingly, is Kathy. Kathy, who was present at the state invitational meet last year, knows how tough the competition can be. Kathy tells Eddie, "This is going to be the hardest meet of the year." Mr. Fraser was so happy last year when the team took home one medal. Eddie optimistically replies, "Hopefully, we can do better than that this year." Kathy, holding Eddie's hand during the entire trip, knows this will be a really hard meet for Eddie. Eddie has placed first in every event he ran this year, so she is hoping he doesn't get too upset if he doesn't take home a medal today. Eddie tells Kathy, "I invited my whole family. Maybe I'll run faster." Kathy tells Eddie, "My mom is going to be watching too." Eddie asks, "How about your dad?" Kathy smiles and tells Eddie, "Oh, that's a surprise. You'll see." After a short trip, the bus arrives and the team disembarks. Mr. Fraser instructs the team, "Okay, everyone, follow me. And don't get lost." Mr. Fraser has been to the Coliseum many times before and knows his way around well. After Mr. Fraser checks in with the security guard, the team enters through a gate which leads to a long tunnel. At the end of the tunnel are the entrances to the locker rooms. The team gets settled in their assigned locker area. Once everyone is ready, the team heads out another tunnel to the arena. When Mark sees the track, he exclaims, "Okay, now this is really the big time." The team meets up with Kathy, Barbara, and Paula, who entered the arena through the women's locker room. The first event up is the 40-yard dash. Mr. Fraser tells Eddie that his best time this year is in the top four of the field of 28 runners. This is encouraging, since no one really wants to come in last place. Coming in last place will make the event feel like a wasted effort. Once the 40-yard dash gets underway, the meet will move along quickly. Until then, most of the runners sit around nervously waiting for something to happen. The announcement finally comes, signifying the start of the meet. The meet announcer introduces the meet officials, including the meet director, whose name is Dr. Alexander Karakova. Kathy whispers to Eddie, "I told you I had a surprise for you." Eddie whispers back, "Wow. I'll be running right in front of you and your dad." The meet announcer then introduces the teams that are present and opens the meet with a prayer. After the announcements, the meet announcer tells the contestants in the 40-yard dash to meet at the starting position in 10 minutes. Nearby is a bulletin board that has the heat and lane assignments for each runner, which each runner checks before the race. Eddie, in the second heat, feels like he is under enormous pressure. Kathy tells Eddie, "Remember your block settings. Good luck, sweetie. I'll see you at the finish." Kathy jogs over to the finish line so that she can be there when Eddie finishes. As the first heat gets ready to run, Eddie, and the rest of the second heat, lines up a few yards behind them. Once the runners appear to be ready, the starter tells the runners, "On your marks." Eddie watches carefully to observe the procedure. The starter then announces, "Set." Looking around, Eddie sees nothing unusual, other than there are many more officials than usual. The buzzer sounds, and the runners are out of the blocks. In 5 seconds, the race, which Eddie paid little attention to, is over. As the second heat gets ready, Eddie notices another race, the mile, has already started. The meet announcer tells the second heat to get ready to run. Eddie, assigned to lane 4, adjusts the blocks with the settings given to him by Kathy. Eddie also notices that, even though this is a state invitational meet, some runners do not pay attention to the block settings. The starter tells the runners, "On your marks." In a few seconds, the starter announces, "Set." Eddie is set, and is ready as ever for the buzzer to sound. The buzzer sounds, and Eddie is out of the blocks like a madman on a mission. At 10 yards, Eddie is in the lead, and presumably at his top speed. He hears the runner to his right gaining on him. He knows the sound of a runner right behind him very well. Eddie, somehow, is able to move his legs even faster. With 10 yards to go, Eddie adds to his lead. In another second, Eddie crosses the finish line first, winning his heat. The runner in lane 5, who was gaining on Eddie, came in second place. Third through fifth place, however, is up for discussion. While the officials must determine the third, fourth, and fifth place runners, and their times, technically it does not matter. In this particular heat, anyone finishing after second place will not be in the final. Their times were simply not good enough. As the officials examine the photographs, Eddie walks over to Kathy and Mr. Fraser, standing in the coach's area. Mr. Fraser congratulates Eddie, giving him a high five. Eddie asks Mr. Fraser, "What was my time?" Mr. Fraser tells Eddie, "We both clocked you at 4.5. But they won't publish the official times until all of the heats are over." Eddie asks, "Why not?" Mr. Fraser explains, "In the preliminaries, to be fair, if you knew the time to beat, you'd have an advantage." Eddie understands, but is nevertheless ecstatic with his unofficial time. Mr. Fraser tells Kathy and Eddie, "I'm going over to Mitchell. He's running the mile." Kathy, who has to act more reserved around Mr. Fraser, lets out her excitement as Mr. Fraser jogs away. With Mr. Fraser now gone, Kathy gives Eddie a high five and exclaims, "You ran really, really good." Eddie asks, "Do you think it's good enough for the final?" Kathy whispers to Eddie, "So far, it is." Just then, the starter announces, "On your marks." Kathy tells Eddie, "Okay, I got to get back to work." Kathy, clipboard in hand, is ready to time the next heat and record any times she can. Eddie goes back to the team bench area, waiting for his next event, which will hopefully be the 40-yard dash final. When the preliminary 40-yard dash heats are completed, Kathy walks over to the team bench. She whispers in Eddie's ear, "You made the final. You're the number 3 seed." Kathy then walks over to Mr. Fraser, who is talking with Johnson. Johnson, who is about to run in the 220-yard dash, will have a tough race. Kathy lets Mr. Fraser know what she found out, telling him, "Ed is in. He's the number 3 seed." Mr. Fraser grins ear to ear, seen by Eddie all the way over at the team bench. Kathy goes over to the bulletin board and writes down the runners' names and lane assignments in Johnson's heat. Getting her stopwatches ready, Kathy goes to work with Paula, recording as many of the runners' times as they can. This information will prove valuable to Mr. Fraser and the team in future meets. Meanwhile, Barbara notices the times were posted for the 40-yard dash. She writes them down on her clipboard and delivers them to Mr. Fraser. Mr. Fraser looks over the list and tells her to show the list to Eddie. Barbara walks over to the team bench and hands Eddie the list. Eddie looks over his competition and notices his time was a 4.6, not a 4.5. two other runners were clocked at 4.5. The other runners were all in the upper 4-second range. Eddie wonders why his times were slower than in the other meet. He mentions to Louis Zeno, a junior who is looking over the list with him, "I wonder why my time is not as good as the last meet. I thought I ran faster." Eddie's teammate explains to him, "It's the timekeepers. As long as the same timekeepers are working the clocks, everything's consistent." Eddie asks Zeno, "So, my best, which is a 4.4, could have been a 4.6. Zeno replies, "Exactly. But winning is the only thing that counts." Explaining further, Zeno tells Eddie, "You're at this meet because you won a lot of races, not only because of what your times were." Zeno has a point. Eddie decided he would be more focused on winning than on his times for today. The call for the 40-yard dash final is made. The meet announcer broadcasts, "Will the 40-yard dash contestants please check the roster located on the bulletin board? If you are a finalist, please be at the starting location for that event in 5 minutes. None of the runners have to look at the roster. They've all already looked at it immediately after it was posted a while ago. The finalists know who they are and what lane they are in. But, nevertheless, the official announcement has to be made." Eddie walks over to the starting area, and Kathy joins him on the way. Mr. Fraser is already positioned near the finish line and is wise enough to let Kathy escort Eddie to the starting area. Mr. Fraser is no idiot. He sees what is going on between Eddie and Kathy. If her presence can make Eddie run any faster, Mr. Fraser will stay out of the way. Kathy tells Eddie, "Remember your block settings." Eddie tells her, "Don't worry about that. I got those down now." Kathy informs Eddie, "I have to go over to the finish line. I'm still working." Before she leaves, Kathy whispers in Eddie's ear, "Run this one for me." Kathy then walks to the finish line to join Mr. Fraser. The starter tells the runners, "This is the final for the 40-yard dash. Congratulations for making it this far. Please take your lanes." The runners set their blocks and stand behind them when they are ready. Eddie, the third seed, is in lane 5. In lane 4 is none other than John Brady, the top seed, who Eddie beat in a four-way meet earlier this year. Brady is the guy Mark threw off base during that meet just before the buzzer sounded, causing Brady to lose the race. Eddie, learning from Mark, thinks of a plan to distract Brady again. The starter announces, "On your marks. This is it, the final. In a few seconds, there will be a winner." The runners get themselves positioned in the blocks. The starter then announces, "Set." As everyone moves into the set position, Eddie whispers to Brady, "You again." With everyone ready to go, Brady briefly turns his head, looking at Eddie. The buzzer sounds, and Eddie is out of the blocks as fast as he has ever been. Brady, being distracted, is out of the blocks last. Sharing the lead at 10 yards, Eddie is head-to-head with the runner in lane 3. At the midway point, the runner in lane 3 is leading the race. Eddie is trying his best to catch him. With 10 yards remaining, Eddie finds himself a few feet behind the leader, with not enough distance left in the race to catch him. The runner in lane 3 crosses the finish line first, with Eddie a split second behind. Eddie takes second place, being edged out by a senior who already has a scholarship in track. Brady, distracted again, did not medal in the race. Mr. Fraser congratulates Eddie on a fine run, giving him two high fives and a fist bump. Mr. Fraser tells Eddie, "That's second place in the state meet. And you're a freshman." Eddie is jubilant that he got second place. Learning from Zeno, Eddie is not concerned with his time. This time, his time didn't matter. What did matter is that he earned a medal for second place. Mr. Fraser congratulates Eddie again, and then has to go to monitor the mile medley relay, which is up next. After Mr. Fraser walks away, Kathy, all excited, runs up to Eddie. Kathy gives Eddie a high five and a hug, telling him, second place. Awesome. Eddie looks at Kathy, remembering that she said to him, run this one for me. A tear comes from Eddie's eye, and Kathy immediately asks, what's wrong, sweetie? Eddie tells her, I lost. Kathy tells Eddie, no, no. You won. Trust me. You really won. You're a freshman. Most of these guys are seniors. Eddie, all emotional, confesses, when you said, run this one for me, I wanted to give you better than second place. Kathy gives Eddie a big hug, telling him, you're first place in my book. Kathy tells Eddie, you've given me more than I ever wanted, and it's found right here, placing her open hand over Eddie's heart. Eddie gives Kathy a big hug, and they start walking back to the bench. After many events, the end of the meet approaches, and so does the final event of the afternoon, the 4x440 relay. The meet announcer makes the final announcement for the event and instructs the runners to get ready. There will be 18 teams competing in this event, which will require 3 heats. There is no runoff, so the best time will take first place. Eddie and his relay team will be in heat 2. The first heat gets ready, but Eddie, Mark, Johnson, and Braden pay no attention. They are too focused on their own upcoming performance, not on someone else's race. After the first heat is over, the meet announcer tells the second heat to get on the track. The team will run in their new order, which was instituted after the first four-way meet of the season. Mark will be leading off, followed by Johnson, then Eddie, and finally the anchorman, Braden. Braden, who likes to kick ass, makes a good anchorman. Braden was shifted to the anchorman position because his body is good at delivering what his mind conceives. Braden, however, is unusually quiet today. This is the state invitational meet. If Braden is caught bragging and cannot deliver, he will look a bit too much like Mahoney. Mark, the lead man, walks up to the starting position with the team. Mr. Fraser, Kathy, and Paula are with the relay team as they prepare to run. Kathy tells Eddie, just run your best. That's really all that you can do. Paula, who has the baton, hands it to Mark. Paula tells Mark, you are one of the fastest in your leg, but Johnson's going to be up against trouble in his leg. Putting her arm around Mark's shoulder, Paula tells him, you really have to run your best today. As Paula walks back to where Mr. Fraser is standing, Eddie winks at Mark and says, see? Mark now understands that Paula might just like him after all. It certainly took Mark long enough to figure it out. The long-awaited announcement comes from the starter to get ready for the second heat. Once the runners are all on the track, Kathy, who is very familiar with the rules, points out to Mr. Fraser that the runner in lane 4 is wearing a wristwatch. Wearing a watch during a race is grounds for immediate disqualification. This is part of Kathy's job, to do anything to give the team an edge. Mr. Fraser takes note and confides with Kathy, thank you. If the officials don't catch it, I'll point it out to them after the race starts. Mr. Fraser, reconsidering, tells Kathy, on second thought, I'll let you point it out to the lane judge. Just wait until I tell you. But don't tell anyone on the team yet. Wisely, Mr. Fraser does not want to bring the infraction to the attention of the officials until the race starts. This is a quick and easy way to eliminate one team from the competition. The starter announces, on your marks. The runners position themselves in the blocks, including the runner in lane 4 wearing the wristwatch. The starter tells the runners, get set. 4 seconds later, which is longer than usual, the buzzer sounds, and the runners are off. Mr. Fraser, pointing to an official, tells Kathy, okay, point the infraction out to that lane judge. But, remember, don't tell anyone on the team yet. Kathy jogs over to the lane judge and says to him, Mr. Fraser, our coach, wanted to let you know that the guy in lane 4 is wearing a watch. The lane judge tells Kathy, uh-oh. That's not good. I'll take a look when he comes around the curve. As the runners come around the curve, it looks like Mark is having an awesome run. The lane judge says to Kathy, there it is. I see it. Thanks. The lane judge walks over and mentions it to the timekeeper, assigned to that lane, just so there is more than one official who sees the infraction. When Kathy returns to the relay team and Mr. Fraser, Eddie asks, what's up? Kathy tells him, Mr. Fraser wanted me to tell him something. Eddie, who is up next, didn't think much of Kathy's response. As they watch the handoff from Mark to Johnson, Eddie tells Kathy, it looks like I'm up next. Kathy gives Eddie a hug, as they both get back to work. Eddie looks over the field, and sees that Johnson is in second place, although the race is very close. As Johnson, on his first lap, passes by Eddie, Eddie waits a bit, and then enters the transition zone to receive the baton. As Johnson completes his final lap, he enters the transition zone, and Eddie takes the baton from him as fast as he can. Somewhat observant, Eddie recognizes that he is in second place after receiving the baton, but could not see which team is ahead. Since this is a relay race, no one wants to disappoint the other team members, so they go all out. Eddie sprints the first 110 yards to gain some ground. Realizing he hadn't gained much ground, he must also sprint the second 110 yards as well. After the first lap, Eddie says to himself, "What the hell? I'll just sprint for the whole race." Eddie, still in second place, is giving it all he has, and then some. It is better to go all out than to find out later that, with a little more effort, the race could have been won. For Eddie, the good news ahead is that Braden, the chiefest kicker, is in the transition zone. After handing off to Braden, Eddie walks off his 440-yard sprint, watching Braden as he runs his leg. Braden, back to his hyper-excitable self, is running to win. The expression on his face as he is running says victory. As Braden enters his second lap, Kathy tells Eddie, who is still recovering, "You ran better than 54 seconds on your leg. I just wanted to tell you the good news." Eddie tells Kathy, "I feel like I just ran a 44. Kathy and Eddie watch Braden as he is finishing the last lap. The 54-second time, which is approximate, has not yet sunk into Eddie's mind. Fixed on the finish line, Eddie, Kathy, and the rest of the team watch as Braden gives it his best. At the finish line, Braden crosses second, with the runner whose team was assigned to lane 4 crossing the finish line first. Mr. Fraser and Kathy are exuberant that the team did so well. Mr. Fraser tells the team, "Congratulations. You guys are awesome. You won your heat." The relay team, however, is perplexed. They saw Braden take second place. Mark asks, "What are you talking about? I thought we got second." Mr. Fraser informs Mark and the team, the leadoff man in lane 4 was wearing a wristwatch, so they are disqualified. Brady's school, Riverdale, is still unaware they've been disqualified. They will find out later, but, as of now, they think they are in the lead. Kathy tells Eddie, "Mr. Fraser said not to tell anyone until the race was over." Mr. Fraser, overhearing Kathy, says to everyone, "I said that because, if you guys knew they were disqualified, you may not have run as fast." Mr. Fraser then exclaims, "Oh. And, by the way, that was your best time of the year." Since their event is over, the team heads to the bench to sit and rest. With Heat 3 underway, Mr. Fraser tells the team some good news. Mr. Fraser whispers to the team, "Don't get too excited, but, according to my stopwatch, you guys are unofficially in first place." Mr. Fraser has his stopwatch timing the current heat, as Kathy, Barbara, and Paula record the 440-yard split times of the current runners. The winner of the event, however, will not be known until the last heat is over. This is because, in the relay race, the best time wins. There is no runoff or final, so everyone must run their best during their heat. With the last race over, and the meet over, the the entire team finally relaxes together on the bench. The work is all done. The team is anxiously waiting to hear who won the 4x440 relay. Afterwards will be the awards ceremony. As the last heat is over, Kathy, Barbara, and Paula return to the bench. The three girls share with Mr. Fraser their final statistics, but, right now, Mr. Fraser is only interested in one statistic, which is who won the 4x440 relay. After considerable time, the meet announcer comes to the microphone to deliver the results of the 4x440 relay. The delay in the announcement is due to the disqualification, which had to be brought to the attention of the meet clerk. The meet announcer finally announces, in the 4x440 relay event, in first place, Northside High. The meet announcer continues to announce the results, but Eddie and the rest of the relay team are cheering so loud they miss hearing which teams got second and third place. Jumping up and down and celebrating, the 4x440 relay team is exchanging high fives with the rest of the team. Kathy and Eddie give each other a big hug. Kathy yells out to Eddie and everyone else on the relay team, "You guys won state. You guys did it." Braden, back to his usual hyper-energetic self, is running around ranting, "We did it. We kicked ass. And there's gonna be a lot more ass kicking coming down in the spring." Even Johnson, who is a little on the reserved side, is giving a high five to everyone he can find. Mark, however, is no longer cheering along with the team. Mark has moved a little farther away from the main festivities and having his own celebration. Paula is giving Mark a hug that lasts a little bit longer than a victory hug. The meet announcer tells the crowd the award ceremony will begin in 15 minutes. The meet announcer instructs the teams, "Coaches, please have your teams return to your benches." Mr. Fraser is totally ecstatic at the team's performance today. Mr. Fraser has not delivered this well of a performance at the state invitational meet during his entire career. It is quite rare for any coach to have one student go to the state invitational meet. This year, Mr. Fraser had quite a few. Meanwhile, still discussing the outcome of the 4x440 relay with Alexander Karakova, the meet director, is Riverdale's coach, Mr. Lyons. Mr. Lyons tells the meet director, "Wearing a watch shouldn't disqualify my team. It was completely unintentional." Dr. Karakova simply asks the coach, "Then, you want me to take the rule book, tear out a page, and throw it away?" Mr. Lyons replies, "That's not what I'm asking." Dr. Karakova rebuts, "Then, what are you asking?" "The rules explicitly state that a runner may not wear a watch while he or she is running. To overlook the infraction is to disregard the rules." The coach continues to argue, stating, "But it was a 440. It's not like he was timing himself." Dr. Karakova finally explains to the coach in no uncertain terms, telling him, "Look, this is why we have lane judges. They caught it, and I have absolutely no grounds to overturn their decision." The Riverdale coach walks away, severely disappointed. The relay team that was disqualified will be even more disappointed once they hear the news. Beginning the awards ceremony, the meet announcer addresses the crowd, "This has been a most excellent competition. We have had quite a few close races this year. The talent present here in the arena is among the best we have ever seen. Every single one of our athletes has given it their best this year." After a few more announcements, the meet announcer then moves on to the core of the ceremony. The meet announcer tells the runners, "When you hear your name, please come up to the stage and stand on the appropriate tier for your place in your event." He continues giving instruction, identifying where the runners in first, second, and third place should stand. This is not hard to figure out, but he has to make the announcement anyway. And undoubtedly, one of the athletes will screw it up and stand on the wrong tier. The meet announcer begins with the 40-yard dash. Opening the delivery of the awards, he announces, in first place, from Henderson High, Damian Harrington. As the first place winner approaches the stage, the meet announcer continues, in second place, from Northside High, Edward Boganskaya. Eddie, sitting next to Kathy, stands up to go and receive his medal. Kathy stands up with Eddie and gives him a hug in front of everyone in the arena, telling him, "I'm so proud of you. You did so good." Kathy sits on the bench as Eddie walks up to the stage, not paying attention to who took third place. Standing on the second place tier, Eddie waits to receive his medal. The officials drape the medals around the three winners' necks as the crowd applauds. Cheers can be heard from the benches of the winning teams. Eddie is actually able to hear Kathy cheering from the stage where he is standing. Kathy sincerely wishes she could drape the medal around Eddie's neck, but is very happy just seeing him on the winner's stage. The medalists return to their benches, and the meet announcer then moves on to the winners of the next event. When Eddie returns to the bench, Mr. Fraser stops him and takes a look at the medal. Mr. Fraser congratulates Eddie once again, telling him how proud he is of Eddie and the rest of the team. When Eddie takes his seat, he lets Kathy hold his medal. Kathy has never held a state invitational meet medal before. The Mile Medley team placed third in their event. Last year, Mahoney and Bell won third place in this event. The other two runners in that race were seniors and have since graduated. This year, the medalists are Daryl Bell, Louis Zeno, Mark, and Mitchell. Mark occasionally runs this event when assigned to do so. It just so happened that, earlier this year, when Mark substituted for Ambrosini and Mitchell substituted for Mahoney, the relay team took first place and ran a qualifying time. Unfortunate for Mahoney, he has not beat Mitchell all year in an 880-yard run, either in the 880-yard event itself or in an 880-yard relay leg. The best Mahoney could hope for is to hear about the race during school on Monday. Consisting of two juniors and two freshmen, the Mile Medley relay team will be back next year. The ceremony moves along quickly, with the medals being distributed in the same order in which the events were run. The meet announcer gets to the final event. He announces, in the final event of the day, the 4x440 relay, first place goes to Northside High. Running for Northside High in the 4x440 relay are Axel Braden, Eric Johnson, Edward Boganskaya, and Mark Svoboda. He instructs the winners, "Please come up to the stage." Eddie and the group stand on the first place tier and await the second and third place winners to come up. Mr. Fraser, back at the team bench, cannot contain his excitement, primarily because his first place relay team consists of all freshmen. Mr. Fraser will have this group for another 3 years. Kathy and Paula, sitting on the bench together, have tears of happiness rolling down their cheeks. Once all the teams are on their tier, the officials award the final awards of the meet. The officials drape the medals around the winners' necks. Eddie and the rest of the team experience one of the highest points of their life. Winning is what they all have worked for by training for years. First place is the result of lifting weights and working out day after day. Standing on the stage is the result of running down the paved path along the parkway in the heat, cold, and rain. A gold medal is the result of bicycling and swimming to work out, not just for fun. Today is payday for the work of the last several years. The winners receive their medals, and the crowd claps and cheers. Everyone joins in to celebrate their victory. The 4x440 relay event winners return to their teams, and the celebration continues. Mr. Fraser congratulates the relay team, giving each member a high five, handshake, and fist bump. Eddie, now with two medals draped around his neck, removes the first place medal he won in the relay event and drapes it around Kathy's neck. Eddie tells Kathy, "This one's for you." Kathy, at a loss for words, does the only thing she can, which is give Eddie a hug and a kiss. Eddie did not like coming in second place in the 100-yard dash. Keeping the second place medal for himself, it will serve as a constant reminder to work harder and train more. He gave his first place medal to Kathy, who put her heart and soul into helping the team train. Eddie now clearly understands Mr. Fraser's point of second place being the first loser. Eddie has vowed never to stand on the second place tier again. With the ceremony over, the parents and spectators are now able to mingle with the teams. Some of the parents come down from the stands to meet with their sons. Eddie's parents find Eddie and meet his coach, Mr. Fraser, for the first time. Kathy's father, Alexander, the meet director, comes over and talks with Kathy. Alexander then takes the opportunity to talk with Mr. Fraser, Mr. Zunday, and Eddie's parents. Some of the other parents, who finally get to meet each other, join in on the conversation. Sure enough, Nina and Mariana are talking with each other, proud of Eddie's and Mark's accomplishments. While the adults are having adult conversation, Eddie and Kathy mingle with the tribe, celebrating their win. The team members all seem to agree that Eddie's medal in the 4x400 relay looks much better on Kathy than it would on Eddie. The team also deeply expresses to Kathy, Barbara, and Paula how much they appreciate them working with the team this year. Kathy, who is just as happy as the 4x400 relay team, can see how the decorated athletes are so appreciative and nice to her. This year, Eddie and his friends have made Kathy and the other girls feel like they are part of the team, not just the team assistants. The team heads to the locker room and back to the bus. Mark's parents offer to drive him home, but he declines. Mark tells them he wants to take the bus with the rest of the team, which is understandable after their big victory. Eddie also takes the bus with Kathy, just so they can be together. Today, on the bus ride home, something is a little different. Paula is sitting next to Mark, leaving a little less doubt as to their interest in each other. When the bus arrives back at the school, Mr. Fraser again congratulates the team. Mr. Fraser also tells the medalists, if you've medaled in the state meet, you have a place on the outdoor track team. But you'll need to come to tryouts anyway. I hope to see every one of you at tryouts in a week. This is the end of the indoor track season for this year, and it couldn't have ended any better. The spring season, right around the corner, is sure to put forth a very competitive team. Before everyone goes home, Mr. Fraser asks the medalists to come inside so that he can get a couple of photographs. The team enters the main gym and sits on the bleachers for the photograph. While Mr. Fraser hunts down someone to take the photograph, Paula takes it upon herself to pose the medalists for the picture. Paula volunteered herself for this task because she has an ulterior motive. Paula has Eddie sit on the left side, with Kathy on his lap. She has Mark sit to the right, leaving a space between them for Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunday to sit. Braden and Johnson sit on the row behind them, with Barbara between them. Bell, Zeno, and Mitchell, who placed in the mile medley relay, sit on the row behind Barbara, Braden, and Johnson. Paula reminds everyone, make sure you are wearing your medals for the photograph. When Mr. Fraser returns with the recruited photographer, Paula tells him he is to sit next to Mr. Zunday. Paula, at the last minute before the photographs are taken, takes a seat on Mark's lap, which is quite the surprise to Mark. The photographer starts taking pictures, documenting not only who won medals this year, but also who is now with whom. On Monday, following the weekend of the state invitational meet, word gets around school that the track team took home 9 medals in 3 events. Winning 9 medals in a state invitational meet is virtually unheard of, suggesting that perhaps something about this team is special. All of the medalists are wearing their medals during school today. Anyone walking around the halls has no doubt who the medalists are. With the team needing some well-needed rest, they'll get a 1-week break from training. Tryouts for the spring team begin next week, which usually brings a bigger field of students attempting to make the team. Monday morning starts with English class, which is quite a departure from the events of the weekend. As Eddie, Braden, and Mark sit in their usual place near the window, it's back to academic reality. Miss Star walks in, who is quite aware of the events that occurred over the weekend. She asks Eddie, Mark, and Braden to come to the front of the classroom. Braden says, under his breath, "Uh-oh. What did we do now?" Braden knew that they were not being called to the front of the classroom for reasons of academic excellence. Miss Starr tells Eddie, Mark, and Braden, all wearing their medals, to stand and face the classroom. Miss Starr, announcing to the rest of her class, informs them of the good news. Eddie, Mark, and Axel have taken first place in the state track meet this weekend in a relay race. Eddie also won second place in the 40-yard dash. Mark also got third place in another relay race. Everyone, please give them a round of applause. The class cheers, applauds, and whistles, which can be heard all the way down the hall. The three medalists return to their seats with a feeling that this week is starting off great. By midweek, the athletes have found a special place to keep their medals at home. Eddie placed his silver medal on his dresser, where it will be a constant reminder to him to work harder. Now seeing second place as the first loser, as does Mr. Fraser, second place is not acceptable to Eddie. Kathy, however, is still wearing Eddie's gold medal around her neck that he won in the 4x440 relay, which is noticed by everyone in school. Mahoney is very upset and angry, to say the least, that he was not invited to the state invitational meet. For some strange reason, Mahoney thinks the medal around Kathy's neck should be his. After all, this is his senior year, and he should have been the star of the team. He is constantly reminded of his failure to qualify for the meet by the medal around Kathy's neck. Seeing Kathy wear Eddie's medal before school, in the hall during class change, and after school motivates Mahoney to train harder. The spring track season is his last chance to prove himself and get the scholarship that he has wanted since he's been running track. After school, on Wednesday, Mahoney runs into Kathy in the school lobby. Mahoney, stating the obvious, tells Kathy, "So, you're still wearing Eddie's medal." Mahoney's opening line simply cannot go anywhere constructive. Kathy, as cordial as she can be, replies, "Yeah. The team did really good. It was an awesome race." Mahoney points out to Kathy, "Yeah. Well, I heard somebody ratted out the first place team. Something about wearing a watch, so they got disqualified." Kathy, now between a rock and a hard place, just tells Mahoney, "I wonder who would do that." Mahoney callously answers, "Some jerk, probably." Kathy replies to Mahoney, "Well, karma's a bitch." Mahoney understood Kathy's statement to involve the karma of the person ratting out the other team. What Mahoney did not understand is that Kathy was referring to Mahoney, who just called Kathy a jerk. Kathy sees Eddie walking down the hall to the lobby, which could not have come soon enough. She abruptly tells Mahoney, "I'm sorry. I got to go." Mahoney is again ticked off that Kathy just ran off to see Eddie. Mahoney, still interested in going out with Kathy, has no idea of what is going on between her and Eddie. Mahoney decides to do a little investigation into Eddie and find out more about him. Kathy runs up to Eddie and asks, "What are we going to do after school today?" With no track practice and lots of free time after school, they have more time to spend with each other. Eddie replies to her, "How about we see a movie, get some pizza, and take the long way home?" Kathy replies, "That sounds great." Kathy is all in. Eddie's plan is perfect for the afternoon. Once tryouts begin next week, there will be less time for social activities. For today, homework and tests can wait. Kathy and Eddie walk to Kathy's house and drop their stuff off. On the way to the movie theater, Kathy asks Eddie, "Have you figured out what you want to do when you graduate?" Eddie answers her, "I sure have. I want to be a mechanic." Eddie is used to people being disappointed in him choosing to be a mechanic. Kathy, however, tells him, "That's wonderful. I think you'd make an awesome mechanic." Eddie asks Kathy the same question, "How about you? Do you know what you want to do?" Kathy's answer, which is a bit less surprising, is, I want to be a gym teacher. Like what I'm doing now with the track team. Kathy also tells Eddie, I like gym class. I like track. That's what I really want to do. Eddie tells Kathy, that's awesome. If that's what you really want to do, go for it. Eddie then points out, actually, come to think about it, you're already doing it. Kathy replies, wow. Yeah, I am. When they get to the movie theater, they check out what is playing. Since they are not in training this week, it looks like the movie choice will be a chick flick. This week is for relaxing. They decided to save the energetic movies for before a workout or while in training. Eddie buys the tickets, and they walk in. The theater is mostly empty, so they find a good seat in the back. During the movie, Kathy lays her head on Eddie's shoulder as they hold hands. Kathy likes romantic movies. Eddie never really paid much attention to them, but now that he's with Kathy, he finds he actually likes them. Or, perhaps it is watching the movie with Kathy that he likes. After the movie, they head to the pizzeria. Eddie asks Kathy, so, what did you think of the movie? Kathy tells him, it was pretty good. It was a little bit of a departure from the usual script. Eddie asks, the usual script? What's that? Kathy replies, yeah, the usual script. Boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. She explains to him, that's the usual script for romantic movies, but sometimes it's girl gets boy, girl loses boy, girl gets boy back. Eddie tells Kathy, wow. You got it all down. Kathy tells Eddie, well, there is the other script too. Eddie asks, okay, which one is that? Explaining the less popular script, Kathy tells him, boy gets girl, they fall in love, girl dies, and boy goes on living without her. They both have a laugh at Kathy's understanding of chick flicks, but her assessment is not far from the truth. Pizza time comes, and they walk into the pizzeria. Inside, Joe, the man behind the counter, greets them as they walk in. Joe yells out to them, hey. It's Kathy and Eddie. You always look so happy together. Working in the pizzeria for years, Joe remembers everyone from the time they were 4 years old and had their first slice of pizza. Joe knows everyone who frequents the shop, even Vito from down the street. Joe asks them, what can I get for you today? They decide to split a calzone and get a slice of pizza each. As they are eating, Joe yells out to Kathy and Eddie from behind the counter, if I charged by the smile, I could retire when you guys come in. Joe knows when the young kids are happy, and he sees it in Eddie and Kathy. Joe's comment makes everyone around them smile too. Everyone inside seems to be having a good time. But there is someone who just drove up looking in the window that is not. Mahoney, who was going to go into the pizzeria, is sitting outside in his car watching Kathy and Eddie through the window. As Kathy and Eddie get up to leave, Mahoney drives off. Mahoney, who is still clueless about the depth of Kathy and Eddie's relationship, still thinks he has a chance with her. After dinner, they walk back in the direction of Kathy's house. Eddie asks Kathy, "Are we taking the long way home?" Kathy immediately responds, "You betcha." They take the detour into the schoolyard and make their way to the bleachers. Kathy sits on Eddie's lap, telling him, "This is life, sweetie." Before he can even respond to what she said, Kathy kisses Eddie, as the two seem to leave the real world and enter their own world of passion. It seems their time alone together never comes soon enough. The time they have together is always not enough, and the time to go always comes too fast. But it is getting late, and tomorrow's a school day. Leaving the schoolyard, Kathy stops and turns to Eddie with a tear rolling down her cheek. With a quivering voice, she tells him, "No. I can't do this. I can't let you go right now. Please, don't go." Kathy and Eddie hug each other tightly, not knowing what more to say to each other. They hug each other and kiss for a while longer. They remind each other that they will see each other tomorrow. As they walk to Kathy's house, they keep reminding each other, "We always have tomorrow." As they get to Kathy's house, Kathy again turns to Eddie and holds him tightly. She whispers in his ear words from her innermost being, "I don't know if I can go inside. I can't leave your side right now. I can't do it." Tears roll down Kathy's cheeks again. Eddie tells her, "Let's go sit on the grass." They sit on the neighbor's lawn and hold each other. Hyperventilating, Kathy tells Eddie, "Okay, you know my secret now." Eddie asks, "Secret? What secret?" Kathy unveils to him, "Yeah, well, I break down like this sometimes." She explains to Eddie, "Sometimes I get really, really emotional, maybe more than I should." Exposing her innermost feelings, she tells Eddie, "But this is real. I'm sorry. I just get like this." Eddie, holding her tightly, tells her, "It's going to be okay. I promise." Kathy whispers to him, "Sometimes when I break down, it ain't pretty." As Kathy begins to calm down, she whispers to Eddie, "Okay, let's try this again." They get up and walk to the house, and on the way, Kathy calms down. As they make it to the door, Kathy says, "Okay, I can do this." Eddie whispers to her, "When you go to sleep tonight, think of me and I'll be there with you." Eddie also tells Kathy, "When I go to sleep, I'll think of you and then we'll still be together." Kathy and Eddie kiss goodnight. Before Eddie turns away to go home, he whispers in Kathy's ear one more time, "Remember, think of me." Eddie walks to the road and begins the long walk home alone that he has taken many times. On the way, he thinks of Kathy and how he treasures her in his heart. As he gets close to his house, he realizes all of his school books are still at Kathy's house. Eddie figures out a plan. He will wake up early tomorrow and walk to school. He'll be waiting for Kathy in front of her house when she leaves for school the next morning. As Eddie walks into his house, a car drives down the road. This is not just any car. This is Mahoney's car. Mahoney, who lives clear across town, is somehow found driving by Eddie's house very late at night. What Mahoney has been up to during the last few hours is anybody's guess. The next morning comes and it's back to school again. After getting ready, Eddie walks to school today. He has to get to Kathy's house before she leaves so that he doesn't miss her. Eddie sits on the sidewalk in front of Kathy's house, propped up against a street lamp post, waiting for Kathy to walk out the door. In a few minutes, Kathy walks out of her house and, seeing Eddie sitting on the sidewalk, yells out, "Eddie." Kathy drops her school books and his, which she was carrying to school for him. They run to each other and give each other a big hug and a good morning kiss. Eddie tells Kathy, "Good morning, sweetie." Kathy replies, "Oh, yeah. That it is." After another long good morning kiss, they walk back and pick up their books and walk to school together. On the way to school, Eddie expresses to Kathy, "You know, if you're going to give me this kind of good morning, I'll walk to school every day." All excited, Kathy replies, "That sounds like a plan to me." Eddie asks Kathy, "Did you think of me when you were falling asleep last night?" Kathy replies, "Oh, Eddie, I did, and I had the best night's sleep ever." Kathy then whispers to him, "I actually felt like you were holding me." On the way to school, Kathy tells Eddie from deep within her heart, "I'm sorry I broke down last night." "Really, I am?" Eddie replies to her, "No. Please don't be sorry. If that is you, just be you." Kathy warmly replies to him, "You are so sweet. Everyone expects you to act a certain way, and sometimes you just can't." Reassuring Kathy, Eddie tells her, "Just be who you are. Anything else would be a fake." Eddie then whispers to her, "I want to know the real you." Eddie continues, saying, Can you imagine telling Brayden to speak using proper English? That's just not him. Kathy, finishing Ed's thoughts, translates Brayden's pre-race energetic rants into proper English. My fellow team members, I do perceive that we are going to beat the opposing team by a significant margin, unmatched in either speed or stamina. And, as an added bonus, I shall figuratively place my foot into a very personal posterior part of their anatomy using great force. And then, I shall inform the opposition of our superior performance level and compare it with their inferior performance level using an abundance of very descriptive metaphors. Eddie laughs and says with an energetic voice, "We're going to," and Kathy, knowing where this is going, joins in, and they both say, "Kick ass." They have a good laugh together and have a wonderful start to their day. Before spring track tryouts begin, Mahoney is trying to find out all he can about Eddie and his friends. After following Eddie and Kathy around all week, Mahoney continues his investigation by talking with anyone who might know something about Eddie's training protocols. He also attempts to find out more about Eddie's family, prying information out of anyone he can. Mahoney's behavior would essentially classify him as a stalker. Mahoney, who was literally left in the dust during the indoor track season, cannot let this happen again during the spring. It is apparent to all that Eddie and his friends have some sort of secret, or train in a way that enhances their running. While Mahoney does not find out much about their training, he does come across what he considers interesting information about Eddie. Mahoney, who is still obsessed with Kathy, intends to find out more.